Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall.
I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye, I'm late.
Exactly what time do you call this? Have we been practicing our advanced procrastination techniques? Or, more accurately and apropos for this podcast, time may forgive thee, sirrah, but I shall not. Thou makest a mockery of minutes. That is right. Today, it's about time, we tiptoe down the temporal towpath of tardiness. Uncle Will was so fond of this concept, he would not only use it numerous times throughout his canon, but employ tardy in all its grammatical glory, as a noun, adverb, and adjective. On our journey down the path of knowledge, let us veer into the verdant vocabulary garden where we can find the ingredients of our word salad. Okay, I'll stop now. The leafy Latin root for lateness is, of course, tardus, meaning slow. So, moving on, tempus fugit, let us start with the tragic tale of King Lear. The aging king decides to divide his kingdom among his three daughters, Goneril, Regan, and Cordelia, based on how eloquently they profess their love for him. Goneril and Regan flatter him with extravagant declarations, while Cordelia, refusing to engage in empty flattery, simply says she loves him according to her bond, no more, no less. Enraged, Lear disowns her and divides her share between the two sycophantic sisters.
Better thou hadst not been born than not to have pleased me better.
Is it but this? A tardiness in nature which often leaves the history unspoke that it intends to do?
The King of France admires Cordelia's honesty and dignity. Here, Uncle Will uses tardiness as Cordelia's accidental sin, in that she was too slow to articulate her love for her father. We must now, in a timely manner, proceed to William's tale of Henry IV, Part II, where tardily takes a turn for the tragic. In Act II, Scene 3, Lady Percy mourns her late husband Hotspur, lamenting his loss and those that would seek to emulate him, by saying, "For those that could speak low and tardily would turn their own perfection to abuse, to seem like him." She notes how her late husband's rough, soldierly speech was marked by a low, thick accent, and uses tardily to remark on his slowness of delivery. William penned tardiness and tardily only once each, but employed the adjective tardy more than a dozen times, most famously in his tale of the Pouty Dane. Quickly, then, to Elsinore, where we find Hamlet giving some advice to the players.
Suit the action to the word to the action, with this special observance, that you o'erstep not the modesty of nature. For anything so overdone is from the purpose of playing, whose end, both at the first and last, was and is to hold, as 'twere, the mirror up to nature. Now this overdone, or come tardy off, though it make the unskillful laugh, cannot but make the judicious grieve.
And we wouldn't want that now, would we? So quickly then, before we fly off, here is your mirror. I have found that the only people that insist they are never late are those that are. I mean, if you were here on time, there'd be no reason to bring it up now, would there? And unlike the daily refrain from my fifth grade teacher after recess, "You are only letting yourself down," that's not true. You're letting down everyone else, too. And that's not fashionable, late or otherwise. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.